The Environmental Protection Agency has racked up a backlog of unfunded toxic Superfund sites. The Associated Press reports that these 34 sites make up the biggest backlog of unfunded Superfund projects in at least 15 years. For more, we're joined by Judith Ink, a former EPA official. And Judith, remind us exactly what the Superfund program is.
The Superfund program is one of the most important programs run by the EPA, and it is designed to clean up or remediate the most toxic waste sites in the country. And if you know who caused the contamination, then the company or party that polluted the site is responsible to pay to clean it up. But then there's a second category of sites where you don't have a known party or the party's gone bankrupt, in which case you would use Superfund money to do the cleanup. But this is a very important program. It touches public health. It makes the difference on whether or not we have clean drinking water, whether people are directly exposed to toxic chemicals. And it really should be a top priority whether or not there's a Democrat or Republican in the White House.
Can you tell me how many sites we're talking about? What kind of projects are being funded under this Superfund program?
Well, there are thousands of Superfund sites dotting every state. Superfund sites run the gamut of old factories that went out of business, you know, closed the gate and then went away without cleaning up their toxic legacy. You've got big sites. You've got relatively small sites, but do tremendous damage, like old dry cleaners. What I'm particularly concerned about is this whole new generation of chemicals, PFAS, known as forever chemicals. They currently are not always, but sometimes are eligible for Superfund cleanups. But when all of those sites are identified and come onto the federal Superfund list, the bill is going to be even bigger.
Based on your experience, why do you think the backlog got so bad? Why is it so big?
Well, I think it got so bad because President Trump and his EPA simply don't care about environmental protection and public health protection. We need
they're actually pushing back on that and saying that they removed a huge number of sites from the list as projects were completed. I mean, they're saying this is a significant step in the right direction. But even there's this huge backlog.
Yeah, there's a backlog, but I think they're incorrect when they make that case. What the Trump administration is interested in doing is pushing Superfund sites off the list so that they can be redeveloped. And if a site is cleaned up, that's a good thing. But it takes decades to get these sites cleaned up. The current concern is that they're not funding sites that are ready to go, but there's not enough money. And I think it goes back to the broader problem with the Trump administration. Regardless of what they say, they are not committed to environmental protection, and there's no sense of urgency to deal with these Superfund sites that communities are really struggling with.
Judith, I want to bring in Ed Lorenz. He lives in the neighboring town of one of those unfunded Superfund sites in St. Louis, Michigan, and he's chair of the Pine River Superfund Citizen Task Force. Ed, can you briefly give us the backstory of this site and the company that created it?
Okay, yeah. This is a site that developed from the operation of what was called Velsicol Chemical. Velsicol dumped all sorts of chemicals in the environment here from the manufacturer of pesticides, fire retardants, and other products. And they made a catastrophic shipping error in 1973, shipping a fire retardant instead of an animal feed supplement that they also made. The fire retardant was mixed with animal feed. It ended up contaminating the food chain for at least 8 million people, probably more than that. And for over a year, it wasn't known that this had happened. So they were responsible for this massive food contamination, which ended up putting a fire retardant in the bodies of huge numbers of people across Michigan, the upper Midwest, and to some extent nationally.
You mentioned all of the contaminants that this company produced, including DDT, a synthetic pesticide that Rachel Carson wrote about in Silent Spring. Give us a sense, does this still pose risks to wildlife or people in St. Louis today?
One of the surprising features of our site was we continued to have, for example, robins dying in the yards of houses in town down through the early 2000s. And finally, through years of complaining, we had them investigated and found out they were still consuming DDT that the company, through its careless operations, had allowed to be spread across the neighborhoods near the plant. And eventually, EPA had to come in and they removed something like 50,000 tons of soil around over 100 houses that were in the area near where this plant is. The plant is long gone. It hasn't operated since 1978. But we were doing residential soil cleanup in 2012.
Yeah, I can only imagine that's the other part of this battle. Really looking at people who have these health issues that have been caused by this company. And that's not funded by the federal government. And you say that's a shortcoming of this Superfund program, is that it's not really addressing the health needs of the folks who are impacted.
Right. I think one of the big problems with, Superfund, there are all these health consequences. We are finding them. We have a long-term health study going on related to the people exposed to the fire retardant. And people are still coming forward who have fundamental health problems that seem to be tied to this. And none of the cost of that is in the Superfund budget. It falls on the responsibility of whether it's local health departments, in some ways, private medical care providers, physicians, clinics, this sort of thing. The Superfund budget should be massively larger to pay for these health treatments, responses to these health problems.
Judith, let's go back to you for a minute. What we are hearing from Ed is significant. What do you see as some of the main risks for not funding these sites?
Well, I'm very moved by what Ed said, and he's absolutely right that Superfund deals with sites. It doesn't deal with people whose health is compromised because of exposure to chemicals. So, you know, he mentioned DDT, something we haven't heard about in a long time. I dealt with, and EPA is still dealing with, a site in Newark, New Jersey that made Agent Orange. We've got PCB sites being cleaned up, like the Hudson River, even though PCBs were banned decades ago. So I think the fact that EPA is telling us that they don't have enough money to start cleanup on sites that are ready to go is really troubling. And the reason why Superfund has been super slow is there's never been enough money to cover all of these sites, whether they're funded by polluters, which is the case in 60% of the sites, or funded by federal and state taxpayers.
What advice would you give Ed Lorenz and his task force and all of the folks throughout the country who have been working in this space, pushing for cleanup and more money to help in health services? What do you tell them?
Well, I don't have a particularly reassuring message other than what they're probably doing, which is to stay very, very close in touch with their elected members of Congress. The one thing I learned during my tenure at the EPA during the Obama administration is when members of Congress call, the agency pays more attention. So I think that's important, along with keeping the issue visible in the local media, involving lots of new people in your organization. And it's actually kind of heartbreaking that this becomes almost a full-time job for many volunteers around the country trying to hold the EPA and polluters accountable for the cleanup. The system should just do it on its own, but it doesn't.
That's Judith Ink, former EPA official, and Ed Lorenz, vice president of the Pine River Superfund Citizen Task Force in Michigan. Thank you both for joining us.
My pleasure.
Thank you.